Thank you, Brother Caleb. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You think about a lot of things sometimes when you're in church, things run through your mind. And I mentioned Brother Jerry Sousley a while ago. I had the privilege of preaching for him several times in revival. And the last time I was out in Missouri, I think it was the last time, his wife had a pet pig. I don't know what that has to do with anything except maybe food goes through your mind before you're preaching. And I hate to eat somebody's pet pig for lunch. But I appreciate Brother Jerry has said, I want you to come back tonight. Be a treat to hear him preach. Then this next Sunday morning, we've moved the schedule around a little bit from Sunday night to Sunday morning. Brother Mike Pelletier is going to be with us to preach. An evangelist for 35 years. And you're going to be blessed by his preaching. He'll teach in Sunday school class and then AM service and PM service. And then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and speaking chapel on Wednesday morning. And I hope you'll come. If I could as a pastor, I'd get on my knees and beg you to come and lay aside everything that you possibly can, unless you're providentially hindered. Because I need revival. I believe you need revival. We need revival. And God has specialized times along the way where God can step in at his own doing, his own timing, to do a work of grace. It's sort of sometimes we miss the blessing, like Thomas when he wasn't in the upper room when Jesus appeared the first time. And then Thomas doubted. And, of course, we'd have done the same thing, I'm sure. I won't believe until I see it for myself. And can you imagine when he saw Jesus again and he cried, my God, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. In essence, I'm sorry I did not believe that you were alive. But I'm glad Jesus is alive. And praise the Lord for that. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God and do pray for the revival, as I said, a whole lot this week, and pray God's will can be accomplished. The special services coming up this week and the special meetings, please make note of that if you would. Let's stand here. I'm about a step behind him, I'm thinking. You are standing, aren't you? Just please pray for me that I'll be able to keep my mind focused if I could, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As a matter of fact, last Sunday night I spoke from the same passage. I will speak from it again today, and perhaps one more sermon from this passage. In lieu and light of the resurrection that we just celebrated of the Lord Jesus, chapter 15 is the great mountain peak of the great resurrection of all humanity, especially Jesus Christ and those who follow him. Beginning in let's read 54. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want to talk to you about death and life. Death and life. I'm not morbid today and don't go around the cemetery and sit around and mope around waiting for my day to die. I told you last week, Nancy and I purchased property down here at Carolina. As far as I know, it's still down there. Every once in a while, I do drive through the cemetery and just sort of wave at the plot. And if time lasts, one day, somewhere, sometime on the counter of God, I'll be placed in that plot. And they'll put a little tombstone, a little marker on top of my body. Whatever Nancy wants to say, she could say, that's the best looking man I ever saw in my life. Or he's the most intelligent guy I've ever met in my life. Good things like that would be good on the tombstone, just so she would know it, the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I'm grateful for the privilege of being ready to die because I got saved as a small boy. I don't want to die, but I know death is coming. And I'm glad God said death has been conquered. And I'm grateful for that. And the Bible says death is swallowed up in victory. So we need to get a hold of the subject of death. And I took for an outline D-E-A-T-H, the spelling of the word death, and the L-I-F-E, the spelling of the word life, to give the sermon that I'm preparing again to preach today and next time that I speak. I said several things are for sure, and one thing is for sure. If Jesus tarries his coming, you're going to die. And so am I. Father, bless, we pray, the preaching of the Word of God. I need your help today. I want to be a blessing. Help me not to go too fast, and help me to take my time, be able to catch the breath. May you help me to say what needs to be said this morning. And Father, I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. There are some certainties in life that I mentioned last week, just for review. First of all, there is a God, and we have one God. I put in my notes out beside that one God, my Father, Jehovah Elohim. I'm glad there was only one God. There's not many gods in the world that I'm supposed to serve. I'm supposed to serve the one living God, the Creator, and the Sustainer, and the Redeemer of my life, and I'm grateful for that. The Bible is the Word of God. Aren't you glad for that? Now, this ain't good English, but it's good preaching. Ain't this good? I mean, listen, you can eat from the Word of God, the sweetness of God's truth for us, or we can be rebuked at times, we can be convicted, we can be stirred. There's something about the book called the Bible that's precious. Right across this back wall is my office. Several years ago, there was a lady sitting in there, come in for counseling, and she said, I need to talk to you. And I said, okay. And she says, I'm a witch. Now, she didn't look like a witch, but she said she was a witch, and she went back and talked about what her father and mother had done to her years ago when she was a child. She began to give this story of her life. She says, I want to get out of that kind of lifestyle that I'm living. She said, I need help. And she says, I've served as a prostitute for a long time in the Charlotte area, just trying to make a living for myself. She says, I want to be a Christian, but I don't know how. Or at least I've heard how to be a Christian. I just don't believe I'm one. And I said, well, if you're a witch, I doubt if you are one. And I said, let me take the Bible. And I took the Bible, and I began to move it toward her to read. She said, would you please not bring the Bible any closer? I said, well, the answer to your problem is in the book. And the answer to your problem and your dilemma is found in the Word of God. And every time I moved the Bible closer, she would shake. She literally, no doubt, was probably possessed of the devil herself, but she hated the Bible, but she still was soul searching. She still wanted to do what was right and live right. And I won't go into all the other details of the story except the fact that she was a very troubled young lady and her life was in disarray and a mess. But I'm glad this book can straighten us out and help us do right, live right. And thank God it helped us do right and die right. When you come down and cross over the other side, it ain't going to matter about a lot of things. But it is going to matter if your hand is in the nail-scarred hand of the Lord Jesus Christ when you're crossing from this world to the next world. And I'm glad the Word of God's certain. Judgment is pending. That's certain. It's appointed a man wants to die. And after that, the judgment. And then eternity is forever. So there is one God. Say it with me, please. There is one God. The Bible is the Word of God. Death is certain. Judgment is pending. Eternity is forever. I said last week the letter D, the word death, stands for departure. Turn with me, please. Let's read just a few verses of Scripture in the book of Philippians, chapter 1. And I may review more than I preach the sermon. I may do more reviewing than I will preaching the new part. Chapter 1 of the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 23. I said death is departure. Departure. Here's what Paul said. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And then turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. Well, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I kept to finish the course and finished my course. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also believe in his appearing. I'm glad that when we come down to die, if we could just get a hold of a few basic truths when that time comes. Somebody says, preacher, will you be nervous when you die? I don't know, hadn't done it yet. I'm not sure how I'll be when it comes down to dying, and I'm not sure how I'll react. I'd like to have the peace of God that passes all understanding to rule my life. I have peace with God, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And Paul said, I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Now get a hold of that. The peace of God passes all understanding. It's hard to grasp and hard to comprehend what God can do for His children. I've watched a lot of folks die over the years. I've seen some unsaved folks die. I've seen some saved folks die. There's been a number of occasions where I've seen like the saved person, they struggle for a while and sometimes they utter things and sort of groan and moan, and then all of a sudden, it was almost like a smile readiness come over their face. You want to think in your mind, they just now met Jesus Christ face to face, just crossed over the Jordan River to the other side. I'm not saying that it's always the true case and everybody who dies, if they have a smile on their face, I do believe God can give contentment in our dying hour. I believe God wants to give His grace. It's sufficient. His grace is to save me. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. I'm glad God can save old sinners like us. I'm glad God gives grace for us to live right during the Christian life called sanctification. He wants to enable us to live right. So the grace of God, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul experienced that on numerous occasions and shared it with us in his own writings in the book of Corinthians of all that he went through for the cause of Christ. And he comes to Philippians and talks about the same thing. But he says, I count everything else in my life dung or human refuge that I may win Christ, that I may know Christ. And I know the grace of God is sufficient. And hallelujah for that truth today. And what a wonderful thought it is to know when we come down to die is to departing. And departing means you got to prepare. If you've ever been on an airplane trip or been on a trip anywhere, you've got to prepare. You've got to get a ticket. If you go on the airplane, I'm not sure they're giving away free. You probably have to buy one. And so if we're going to get on an airplane and fly from here to where you live in Missouri, and that's where the big, what's the big like tomorrow? What's the big, what is it called?
Eclipse.
The eclipse, there you go. It slipped my mind what it was. The big eclipse is supposed to be a ringside seat at Brother Jerry's house. When he comes over Missouri, he's even got folks wanting to come and use his property so they can sit there and watch it. So if you'd like to get a ticket for an airplane and fly out to South Missouri, and you can watch it there, or you can watch it wherever you want to watch it. I'm not sure what we'll see and when we'll see it and how we'll see it, and I'm not so wrapped up in trying to spend a lot of money just to go see the eclipse. I'm glad for one eclipse that was not done by astronomy or by just the fact that things happen phenomenal in the heavens. An eclipse happened on the cross of Calvary when Jesus was dying and cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In the middle of the day, God the Father pulled the great light switch in glory, and there was darkness and enveloped the whole earth. And God's Son was being separated from His own Father. He didn't cry, my Father, but my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that eclipse took place on the cross of Calvary to show the outer darkness that every sinful individual shall suffer if they die lost. If I got to choose between death and life, I choose death in Jesus Christ. If I got to choose life, I want to choose life. It's in Jesus Christ. See, death is just part of the way we get there. If I'm going to depart to go home after a while to the house, I've got to get ready to go, get the car, crank the car, put it in reverse and drive. Put it in drive, make me bitter. Put it in drive and drive home within 10, 15 miles out to our house, about 10 miles. But I can't get there until I depart. Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I've finished the course. The time of my departure is time to strike my tent. It's time to fold my tent. Paul says, I'm going home. That's what he was saying. I'm getting ready to go to glory. I have fought a good fight. The battle's over. The victory's been won. And death has been conquered by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus burst the citadels of death, hell, and the grave and arose victorious for everyone, for you and for me. And hallelujah for that truth today that we can experience. We're going to depart one day and swing wide the gate, swing wide the gate. The door is going to open for us. There's got to be a departure, and that departure means preparation. Your ticket has to be bought. Somebody has to pay for it. And when you go to heaven, you have to be there by being one of the blood-washed children of God. First Peter talks about we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. not been redeemed by silver or gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where are you heading, preacher? My destiny is heaven. My destiny, my home's in heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a citizen here. I'm a citizen there. My name is written in the book of life in heaven. My Father is in heaven. My Savior is in heaven. Many loved ones are in heaven. And we're heading for heaven one of these days by the grace of God. I don't think we need to be so affrighted to talk about death and get all shook up. I think we say, as they said about the second coming, even so quickly come, Lord Jesus. I guess the second coming would be a lot easier to take us out of here. May not be as much as struggling if it happens like this. If Jesus comes in the rapture, which he could any time before Jesus comes in the revelation to come back to this earth. But if the rapture occurs, we call it the rapture, even though the word's not used in the Word of God, the word caught away, caught up is used. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we who have died, if we are already dead, the dead shall rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up or raptured up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, but most of us, unless Jesus comes now, we're going to have to die. Give me my druthers, I'd rather have the rapture. But if I got to die, I want to die right with God. I want to make my departure ready by being clothed in the robes of righteousness and having my sins covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the ticket's already been purchased. And a cross that says Jesus paid it all, paid in full. My complete round trip ticket to heaven and coming back down to earth to reign with Him for 1,000 years. I'm glad that God's taking care of all that. All I have to do is make preparation. I've got to have the right clothes on. I've got to have the robes of righteousness. I've got to have my sins covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I may travel and talk with my family a while. My wife, that's a beautiful picture of my wife. I'm not kidding. That's a beautiful man right there. Somebody's got to say it. When you get discouraged in life. What's so unique about it is there's a shovel in her hand and a shovel in my hand. We're getting ready to bury each other, I guess. I've been to a lot of funerals. Most of you know, probably as pastor of the church, I've been involved in about 400, and I don't know, 400 or 500 funerals over these 52 years. And I've had the privilege of saying a few words in some and a lot of words in others. And I'm grateful for the privilege and the opportunity to do that. But I realize that every person that dies is important to God. And those that went to heaven had to make preparations on this earth to go to heaven. You just don't sneak in. You don't climb up. You don't try to buy your way in. You can't get there because your mom and dad were Christians, not by, you know, blood of man and woman, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus we go. And it's nobody's going to inherit the kingdom of God apart from the grace of God, but apart from Jesus Christ and His blood. And we may have to kiss somebody goodbye before we leave. We talk about death often, and Tommy, of course, has always been close to death the last several years. Most of you know Tommy has lived 12 or 13 years beyond what he's supposed to live. What a blessed guy he is. And the day will come, if Jesus tarries his coming and we come down to death, it may be that some of us will have to say goodbye to our good friend Tommy. Or it may be reversed. Tommy may come by and say goodbye to us. You never know what God's divine providence may do and what God's power may do and let it happen. But a testimony either way. But there's sometime we're going to have to kiss some folks goodbye, some moving sights. When folks in this room and folks I know, and we've been there, when you stand beside the bedside of somebody with grandfather, grandmother, granddaddy, or a husband or a wife or children or grandchildren, and you sort of snuggle down close as you could, and you whisper in their ear, and you say these words, I love you. I'm going to miss you. I love you. If that's a saint of God lying in that bed, and they've made all the preparations for eternity, and their name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the blood is covering their sins, and hell is not in their future, it is the glorious departing to a place called heaven. Some call it heaven. Some call it paradise. Some call it jubilee. Let's just call it home. One day, by God's grace, we'll be there. And when that time comes, we may kiss somebody goodbye, but wake up to be able to kiss the very feet of the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. Departure involves expectation, safe arrival. David said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, when you have a light, you can't have a shadow without light. You know that, don't you? It doesn't say I walk through the valley of death. I walk through the shadow. The valley of the shadow that's there. I walk through the shadow of the valley of death. There has to be a light to produce the shadow. I personally believe that, spiritually speaking, when a Christian comes down to die, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a place for us, for me. And David said it well, I will fear no evil. Shadow can't hurt you. Caleb said right here at the front, me and him could sort of have a boxing match. But if I saw his shadow wouldn't scare me a bit. I'd just spit on him. Slap him around a little bit. Now, if I got to have to wrestle with Caleb himself, I'd do the same thing, just put the toughens right out of him. But a shadow, usually, you don't have to be afraid of, but a shadow can scare you. But though we'll come down to the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he's made preparations to die. You get saved, you make preparations for the next world. You make preparations for the expectation of what's down the road. I do not know altogether what heaven's going to be like, but it does involve the safe arrival. I like it when the airplane pilots say, ladies and gentlemen, fasten your seatbelts. We are descending into Charlotte International Airport. Please obey the signs. We'll be landing in just a few moments. Whew. Those are good words. Especially when you got folks waiting on you down at the gangplank when you get off the plane and walk in the corridor, walking in the halls, walking in the airport. It's usually somebody there to pick you up. Usually somebody there to greet you. Usually somebody to have a nice flight. And your answer went well, a little bumpy a few times, but I'm glad to be on ground. And they arrived, and glad for the words of the pilot. Have a nice day. Enjoy yourself in the Charlotte area. What are you going to imagine when you die and you go to heaven? What are you going to say? What are we going to say? What are we going to think? I have no idea how to contemplate it, how to even imagine it, but I can sort of dream, I guess. Just arriving at heaven's door. I made preparations when I was a child, a small child, trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. It doesn't depend on my being good to get the ticket. It depends on Him being righteous and good to give me the ticket. And I can't get the ticket unless I want the ticket. I've got to want to go to heaven. And I want to go to heaven because I don't want to die and go to hell. But it's not just all about going to heaven and hell. It's about seeing our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day we'll see Him face to face. I will fear no evil. A warm welcome awaits us. It's called homecoming. And many may be there. And I've said this already. I'll say it again. I like John R. Rice's song. I've got a daddy over there, he sings. I've got a mama over there, he sings. John R. Rice got saved when he was just a kid, 6 or 7 years of age, and wrote the song, I think it was, I've got a mama over there. I've got a daddy over there. You go down the list of those that's there. How many of you have a daddy over there? Would you raise your hand, please? Raise it real high. Oh, that's great. How many's got a mama over there? Praise the Lord. How many's got grandparents in heaven? You say, well, I know that they all went there. No, not everybody, unless they've been saved by the grace of God. And what the sad reality is, there's a lot of folks that talk about heaven. They may even dream about heaven. They may expect to go to heaven. But 1 second after they breathe their last breath in this world, they lift their eyes up in the regions of the damned called hell, Luke 16. Be sure that your preparations are made, and be sure that your name is in the book of life, and be sure the register is full, and be sure the blood's been applied to your life to be ready to expect to go to heaven. I like the old song. My mother used to sing it quite often. We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths and God's word He hath given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. In heaven, no drooping, hallelujah, or pining, no wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. pure waters of life there flowing, and all who drink may be free. Rare jewels of splendor are glowing, how beautiful heaven must be. The angels are sweetly are singing up there by the beautiful sea. Sweet chords from their gold harps are ringing, how beautiful heaven must be. There is a land that is fairer than day, and by faith I can see it afar. It won't be long. Some of us in this room are going to pass by the way called death. And the fact is, we've got to depart before we can get there. I can't arrive until I depart. I can't get to heaven until I depart this world. The time of my departure is at hand. Again, said Paul. Paul said that. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. And I have fought a good fight, kept the faith, finished the course. He says, I know there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, but not only me, but for all those who love His appearing. I'm ready to go. And I believe with all my heart, every Christian can have that assurance when they come down to die. Every child of God on a deathbed who has loved ones around them, it ought to be, I'll meet you in the morning down by the sea, by the river of life. I'll meet you someday. It ought to be that every child, every grandchild hears some words prior to death, if possible, not always possible, but could hear some words before a person dies. I want you to know I'm saved. Beautiful words. I want you to know I'm going to heaven. And the next question is, I want to meet you there. The next statement, I want to meet you there. I want to see you again. But you're not going to see them again unless you've been saved and made preparations and have expectations of seeing them in the great homecoming. Entering into a house. Let's read this passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Beautiful passage written by the Apostle Paul. See, if you've got to make a departure, he says, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm getting ready to make a trip. I'm getting ready to go to heaven. How beautiful heaven must be. But there has to be an entrance into that place. There is the departure that I'm going to die. The breath's going to cease to flow or cease to beat in my body. My blood's going to cease to flow. My chin will drop on a pulseless chest. And I'll give up the ghost and die in this world. And there'll be no more blood flowing through my body. And my lungs will collapse for the last time. It'll all be over. Say, well, how do you think you feel? I think I'll feel great. You say, well, how do you know? Because the Bible tells me so. You say, preacher, what's going to be like? I don't know how together what's going to be like. But I'm telling you what. When you live your life, you go through all the things we go through in this world because of sin in the Garden of Eden, all the tragedies and heartaches that we endure and face. We don't want to come back once we get there. Now, we may miss somebody and wait till the day they come, but we don't want to go back to this world once we go into that world. They know it's over. The time of their departure has arrived, and now they get ready to enter into the kingdom, into the place called heaven. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know. In my Bible, I circle the word know, K-N-O-W. And in the word know, there's the word now. For I now know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Let not your heart be troubled, the Bible says in John 14. Believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house. Are many mansions. I still like the old King James, many mansions. I go to a lot of funerals and they talk about many rooms. And I like mansions. That sounds a lot more enticing to me. And I got a room. Or to have a mansion. Live in a mansion forever and ever. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon within our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall now be not found, shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle with this fleshly bone, we groan, being burdened, not for what we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in victory, and death has been conquered. The victory has already been won, the Bible says. For we walk by faith, and not by sight, in the verse before that. Therefore we are always confident. We know. Ask the Christian, if you died right now, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? The answer ought to be, I know. Yes, I will. Or as a young man I talked to this week, I said, are you saved? He says, I don't know. I said, if you died right now, Are you 100% sure to go to heaven? He said, well, I think so. He said, I hope so. Maybe so. I said, wouldn't it be good to know so? I talked to him for a few minutes. He didn't get saved, but we talked a few minutes about being saved. I trust he will become a Christian. Don't answer, I'm hoping to go to heaven. It is, I know I've been saved by God's grace. And I put in the great big letters today on the impression of your mind, God can't lie. God does not lie. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can't be at two locations at the same time. I've got to enter into the place in my Father's house. There's a place. I've got to enter into the place. We call it home, entering into home. There is a departure time from one place to get to the next place. And if the next place is my heavenly home, I've got to enter. It involves entering the place. I've got to enter. Not by my own ability, but because God says it could. He says, come, welcome. And how important that is. Before you can be in a house, you have to enter the house. That makes sense. That's a deep thought. Before you can be in a house, you have to enter the house. And there's only one door. And John 10:9 said, Jesus said, I am the door of the sheepfold. If any man is going to come into heaven, any man going to be an eternal home, he got to come through the door. And I'm the door. The only way you can get to heaven is to come through Jesus Christ. And yet sometimes we think we can get there some other way, and we're hoping some other way, but do you know, only one door. Interest involves not only the fact of entering into the place, it involves enjoying the place. Jesus said, enter in, you faithful servant. You've been few faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Matthew chapter 7. The Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I will make you to be ruler over many things. You may rule over a few things for a while. You can't really enjoy the place until you get to the place. Now, you can have some spiritual ups and spiritual highs and some spiritual dreams and spiritual thoughts, but you can't really enjoy the place until you arrive at the place. There has to be the departure. That's when I give up the ghost. I have to be at the arrival. I've got to have to be going to the place, but I've got to know that I can enjoy it when I get there. I can enjoy my heavenly home. I can enjoy the blessings of God for eternity. I'm not sure how it's going to be altogether in heaven. I said it involved the preparation to get on board through the blood of Jesus Christ. I said there is expectation. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I want to go through the only door, and Jesus said, I am the door. And seven times, I think it was in the New Testament, he says, I am. And then Moses was told by God, Moses, you tell them when you get down to Egypt, if they want to know who sent you, you tell them the great I am has sent you. And the only person in the world who can complete a sentence is God by saying I am, period. But he went on to add to the definition of his greatness, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. I am the vine, I am the water, I am the bread of love. I am, he says, I am the door. And no man cometh into heaven except through the door that I am. Thank God for the wonderful truth. It involves enjoying the place. The Lord said, enter into the joy of the Lord, prepare for you from the foundation of the world. If he'd been working on that mansion for all these many years since he went back to heaven, I go away, but I come again. And I'll take you where I am. And we'll be there forever and forever. Arrival. Can you imagine a place of constant joy? My heart's been broken several times. Sometimes it's been crushed. There's times when you wish it wouldn't come. And then when it comes, you wish it quickly pass away. Sometimes may linger on for a day or two, or a week or two, or a month or two, or some things linger with you all of your life. And every time it comes to your mind, you think, boy, I wish I had the joy back. Now, I believe Christians can enjoy the Christian life, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. But let's just be honest, there's sometimes when tears beckon our face and drop down from our eyes and drip down our cheek and down the floor. Tears are a language God understands. Broken dreams, heartaches, shared lives, blasted hopes, in heaven, no pain, no separation, no sickness, no trials, no tears, no hurts. Wouldn't it be good to have a body that completely was whole? Why does God let us go through all this suffering? Because He's getting us ready for something that we can't explain. We're getting ready to enjoy something that will be enjoyed forever and forever, and nobody can take it away. And God has promised us a mansion in glory. He has promised us all the benefits that come with going to heaven. He says more about hell than He does heaven in the Bible, but He does talk about heaven. There's two subjects that are not preached on a whole lot anymore, and one of them is hell and needs to be preached on often. Because that's where you want to get away from so you can depart this world right with God and go into the home of the abode, the place of the righteous. May God help us today. I close with this thought this morning. Arrival suggests the end of the trip. You take your journey through life, it lasts for a few years or whatever the case may be, and then you come down to the end, get ready to depart. You get down close to somebody, is everything all right with you and your maker? Sometimes they shake their head and say yes. Sometimes they move their eyes. I've had folks to hold my hand. I said, if you died right now, you're going to heaven. And they squeeze that hand and mutter some word, yes. That's a great consolation to have. I'm not the judge and jury of anybody's life. But when they come down to die, if they tell me they're going to heaven, that's between them and God, and I trust it's all as well. I can't go in your stead. You can't go in my stead. I got to walk that valley all by myself. Except the Lord Jesus. Somebody says He dispatches pallbearers down from glory when you die to get your soul and tenderly take it to where the place is supposed to be. I'm not sure how all is going to transpire, but Paul said absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's pretty quick. So if I drop a lifeless lump of clay behind this pulpit, and my knees tremble no more, and the eyes are closed in death, and my body lies dormant on the floor, go ahead and call the undertaker, but I ain't here. Go ahead and say, poor old preacher, he's dead. No, I'll be more alive than I've ever been before in my life. They asked D.L. Moody about that one time. He said, understand, we thought you died. He says, no, I'm more alive than I've always been. And how true that is. Well, I'm going to close with this statement by D.L. Moody. Some of the great saints of God. I have a collection in my file on dying words of God's saints and dying words of atheists. Compare the two. If we had time, we would. But I give you this definition. A few hours before entering the homeland delight, Dwight L. Moody caught a glimpse of glory awaiting him. Awakening from his sleep, he said, earth recedes, heaven's open before me, and this truth, it is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me, and I must go. His son who was standing by my bedside, his son that was standing by his bedside said, Father, you're just dreaming. No, said Mr. Moody, I am not dreaming. I have been within the gates. I have seen the children's faces. A short time elapsed, and then, following what seemed to be to the family a death struggle, he spoke again. Last words. This is my triumph. This is my coronation day. It is glorious. Death. D. Depart. E. Find the fact that you've got to enter. And A. Is arrival at your destination. Matthew Henry, the commentary writer. Sin is bitter. I bless God I have inward support to help me in this hour. Martin Luther, our God is the God of whom cometh salvation. God is the holy by whom we escape death. John Knox, live in Christ. Live in Christ, and the flesh need not fear death. John Calvin, thou, Lord, buriest me, but I am abundantly satisfied. Bruisest me, but I am abundantly satisfied. Since it's from thy hand, I take the bruise of death. John Wesley, best of all, the truth is God is with us. Farewell, farewell, farewell. John Baxter, George Baxter, I have pain, but I have peace. Oh, I have peace. Tristan, Blessed be God, though I change my place, I shall not change my company. Goodwin said, is this dying? How have I dreaded an enemy that has a smiling face or a smiling friend at the end? Everett said, glory, glory, glory. I don't know if you'll talk or I'll talk before we come down to die and leave this world. It'd be great if we could. But on the inside of every individual that's saved, there dwells the Holy Spirit. And one of the great ministries of the Holy Spirit, and I am through with the message today, the great ministry of the Holy Spirit is to be our comforter. I will not leave you comfortless, said Jesus when he went back to heaven, but I'll send another, and that others will be just like me, and he shall dwell in you. And on that day, glorious day, when we bowed our head, or bowed our knees, or whatever the case may have been, and said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me, the Holy Ghost of God, the triune Godhead, God the Father looking down and smiling, Jesus already risen from the dead, and the Holy Ghost says, I'll take care of the comforting. And he comes and dwells in us. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Go through the valley, by the grace of God, I hope I'll be able to face it with courage. Don't know what I'm going to say, don't know how I'm going to act. I haven't been there yet, but I do want to be able to say, God, I'm ready. I've been saved by your grace, heaven bound. My departure may be around the corner, 77 years of age. I may live to be 100, I don't know, I'd like to. I may live a long life, but we know when the cycle begins to wear down. And you begin to realize you're closer to the other side than you are this side. When you cross over a certain mark of years, you've got more on the downside than you do on the upside, as far as living. And it goes by fast. Everybody in this room would testify this. Boy, these years sure have gone by fast. I remember when... Yeah, and then we talk about the kids and grandkids. And they're grown and they have kids and they have kids and everybody has kids. Then you got 30 grandkids. And you say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Take me home to glory. But the fact is, life's like that and it just keeps moving. I'm trying to encourage you today. I hope I can. I want us to be honest with ourselves and honest with God. I go ahead and ask you this question. Do you know you're saved? Do you know if you died right now, you go to heaven? If there's any doubts, I want you to come, gather around the altar. Somebody will pray with you. If you're here and you're battling assurance of salvation, won't you come today and just say, Lord, I'm just going to trust you today. I don't know about the yesterdays. I'm trusting you today as my Savior. I drive a stake about a mile deep and say, by God's grace, I'll be saved and trusting. Maybe you're a Christian, maybe going through terrible trials, heartaches. Just need to come and pray a little bit around the altar. This altar is for the saved as well as the unsaved, and mostly for the saved. We want you to come. May God bless you. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In just a moment, we'll have a verse of invitation. If you need to come, by all means, I want you to obey God. Be obedient to the Holy Spirit in your life. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the writing they've given to us that we can share with each other. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you for dwelling on the inside of our heart and life. We may not feel you all the time, but we know you're there because you said you were. Through the darkest hour, through the toughest days of our life, you've always been there. You said through the Lord Jesus' lips, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of this world. Bless the invitation now, Lord. Speak to hearts, I pray.